How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
How many here know how important maintenance is? Have you ever not maintained something and had consequences? And say that again. Listen, I live with a living example of maintenance. Everything. Do you know anything that doesn't need to be maintained? Like, is there anything? Like, Doc, how about the computer, huh? Like, don't you wish you'd maintained it now? And then... Rick up here is a computer tutor. Have I got it right? And he goes around teaching computer. And the reason he's here tonight is he's looking for business. Anybody? All the hands are up back there, Rick, so... No, actually, the doc has paid him so much because he didn't do his maintenance. He had to pay him so much that he bribed him into coming to church tonight. I think that I know that's not true. I know he's here of his own free will. Everything needs maintenance. In fact, one of the verses in Scripture, Solomon says, "I walk by the home of the slothful person." And you can always tell the home of somebody who doesn't understand maintenance, because the grass is too long and the weeds are taken over and the plants are out of ratio and stuff has accumulated. I mean, there's nothing worse than something that's not been maintained. And all you guys know about maintaining tires, and you know about maintaining cars, and everything needs maintenance. Including you. And that's the subject tonight. Because if anybody's going to do maintenance on your car, or schedule it, or make sure it's done, guess who it's probably, going to fall on your own shoulders. Who's going to help you? Who's going to maintain you? Well, the shocking truth from the Scripture is that God requires that each of us have a maintenance program. And there are certain things that we must do to maintain ourselves, because maintenance is important. One of the reasons maintenance is important, let's take a look at this scripture. Everybody has this one memorized. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you haven't looked after yourself, I pity your neighbor, because you're going to treat him the way you treat yourself. How you treat yourself is really important. It will determine how you treat others, because we love our neighbors like we love ourselves. Now, there's a difference between self-love and selfishness. When the Scriptures instruct us to love ourselves, that is not a permission slip to become selfish. And in fact, to assure that we don't become selfish, the gospel has embedded in it certain thoughts and ideas. Let me quote a couple of them. If any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen to Corinthians. That we who are saved should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again. So we're not talking here about maintaining your ego in some kind of exalted condition, but we are talking about taking proper care and management and love of yourself. So let's take a look at least 10 ideas tonight from Scripture that have to do with how to do self-maintenance. Now, again, let me say, this is not talking about maintaining your marriage. That's a whole other maintenance schedule. Hello? I'm not talking about maintaining your family order, your children. That's another maintenance schedule. I'm talking about yourself. A good illustration, you know, I wish I had it memorized, or I wish I had a tape of it. All the airline stewardesses, when you get on the airplane, they go through this routine about when the oxygen quits. I could never understand a lot of those instructions anyhow. Why you want to fasten your seatbelts? I have no idea. I mean, if an airplane's going down, that seatbelt hasn't helped anybody yet. Nobody survives. The seatbelt isn't going to help you. I don't know, but anyhow, we got this routine. Well, I like this one about when the oxygen mask comes out. It says, be sure to put your own oxygen on before you seek to help somebody else. The reason is because if you are incapacitated, you can't help somebody else. So the reason you want to look after yourself is so that you'll be in condition to help other people. Huh? But if and this is not selfishness. But somewhere back in the routine, we have learned, some of us, to put self in the wrong position. And we certainly don't put ourselves before the Lord. But after the Lord, you need to look after yourself and then your spouse. Now watch. How do we do self-maintenance? Number one, need to have a regular self-inspection time. Maintenance needs to be routine. You buy the car every 3,000 miles, time. There are checkups there. And so it is with ourselves. We need to have regular checkups. And I suggest to you that once a day is a good idea. And once a week, an absolute minimum. And if you're not doing your routine checkup on yourself for more than a week, and you let yourself go for a whole week without checking up on yourself, you are probably in big trouble. And if you're not, it won't be long before you're there, because we are made to require maintenance. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Here's the plain statement of Scripture. Examine yourself. So what we're talking about here is having a regular time of self-examination. Now, this particular text says you want to make sure that you are in the faith. Are you living by faith, or are you living by doubt? Let me ask it again. Are you living by faith, or are you living by fear? You cannot live in the faith and have fear. How long before your next checkup, where you will discover you have gone way past your oil change, way past the due time, to get rid of fear and doubts and uncertainties and condemnation and all kinds of stuff. Examine yourself to see that you're in the faith. Now watch the next phrase, because it's really critically important. Look what it says. Provide proof to yourself. So, when this self-examination time takes place, you need to examine whether you've lived that day in faith or not. And what is the evidence of it? Or have you really had a day without faith? Were you a believer or a doubter? How can you tell? Well, there's a number of ways. You can tell by the conditions of your emotions. A person who lives in faith will have positive, healthy, holy emotions. You will feel good. But if you didn't live the day in faith, but in doubt and fear and uncertainty and condemnation, your emotions will tell you. How do you feel at the end of the day? Check to see whether you're in the faith, walking by faith. This is kind of important, because we walk by faith and not by... See, you can have a whole day of sight walking, and at the end of it, tough. Let's look at another verse. Here it is. There's the command. Look to yourselves. This is this inspection. This is this routine. This is self-inspection. Now watch this. Because the first inspection in the inspection time was about faith. This one, watch it. It's about looking to yourself that we lose not the things which we have brought about. You know, it's not enough to have a good day yesterday if you lose it today. What have you lost? Have you lost anything? Have you lost spiritual power? Have you lost emotional health, mental well-being? Watch now, because this scripture is saying that we should do this activity so that we don't lose stuff. Because, watch, it is the Lord's intention that we receive a full reward. Oh, but I'm so spiritual, I don't need rewards, Pastor David. I don't think that's spiritual at all. Listen to this. He that cometh to God must first believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants to reward you. He's got stockpiles for you. And he wants to distribute it. Watch now. Look to yourself that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that in that instead we have full rewards. All right, it looks like I could tell by the look on your face I need to slow down a bit. So it's not my fault if it's not as short as I thought it was going to be, right? You have to change the look on your face to speed me up. Every day should be, are you ready? Rewarding. Oh, it's not nice to live days without reward. Like, you see, this really affects mental, emotional health. Don't you see this? How many days can we go without feeling that we are living in such a way that's rewarding? It doesn't take long for depression to kick in. But if you understand at the end of the day that it has been rewarding, see, look to yourselves, that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive full rewards. If you were to ask me about tragedy, and I mean, there's a lot of tragic things. I think that one of the most tragic things is to have walked across the stage of life and be standing at the exit sign and look back and see nothing important, nothing significant. I want you, beloved, because we will all come to the exit sign. The lights are going to go out for all of us one day. Before they do, I want you to be able to look back, and instead of being saddened and tragically disappointed, I want you to be able to see all the rewards that have taken place. It was a good life. I did what I should do. Oh, God blessed me. I kept my faith, and every day he rewarded me. His mercies are good. This will not happen if you don't have checkup time. Look at the scripture again. Look to yourselves. Have a regular self-inspection. Because your today's may well turn into yesterday's too quickly, and you'll be at the exit sign. Too late to start the checkup, then not much you can do, because you're going to check out. Solution is to check up on yourself every day. So the key to self-maintenance is regular routine checkup of yourself by yourself. This instruction isn't to somebody else. The implication here is that you is understood. You look to yourself. You examine yourself. Have a regular checkup. And number two, this is something you do for yourself. Nobody can do this for you. Keep yourself in the love of God. Oh, I want you not to miss this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Now watch here. Over here on the right, we could put God up here. And this is the love of God, this domain, the love of God. Now watch this. This scripture says, keep yourself, watch this, keep yourself inside this. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't move out here, out of the love of God. Because if you move out here very far, instead of being surrounded by the love of God, you'll be surrounded by black clouds. Keep yourself, now watch here, keep yourself inside the love of God. So let me ask you a couple questions. Did you keep yourself in the love of God today? How would you know? Because inside the love of God, remember, when you are in the love of God, His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Inside the love of God, there's no condemnation. Huh? Is that true? But if you watch now, like this guy in the picture, if you step outside the love of God, keep yourself in it. Now, that means you got to do something with your mind. I dearly beloved, we are so loved, so loved, so loved. I've told you 10 years ago if you were here. I wished I were an artist some days that could put paint and pigment and canvas together. And if I could, my favorite picture would be a picture of the earth from outside, thinking from outside space, looking at Earth. I love that picture anyhow, don't you? Of looking at it. And underneath this picture, I would write two words. So loved. Oh God, so loved the world. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should never perish, but have eternal life. Now, I opted to do something different since I can't draw and I'm not an artist. I did this years ago. I've lost it now. I'm afraid probably need to do this again. It's something I would like you to do. When you leave the service tonight and you go home, I want you to go into your bedroom and open the top drawer of your dresser or wherever it is that you keep it. The picture of you that you don't like. You know the one I'm talking about? And out underneath that picture, that you think you don't want too many people to see, to write the words, so loved. Do in your spiritual checkup, do not forget to make sure that you are keeping yourselves with the thoughts and emotions and well-being that comes from knowing that you are living in the love of God. You'll never be alone. You'll never be lonely. You'll never be outcast. Because you keep yourself in the love of God. Inside, inside this dimension is the ability to deal with stuff. You know why? Verses like this will change you. Listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? Keep yourself, beloved, in the love of God. Make it part of your checkup to make sure you're in the love of God. And then you need to build up yourself. If you are weak, whose responsibility do you think it is to help you get stronger? Well, it's true. The pastor would like to do that. He hopes he does with every time we stand here in the presence of the Word of God and God Himself. But the responsibility for maintaining your built-up condition is yours. Beloved, look at this now. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I've put a little diagram up here. It was easy to draw because I just copied it from the last page. But I put two lines in here. I put God up here now. You can see Him. And of course, this whole zone is still the love of God. And we were designed, as we live in the love of God, to have communication with God and back from God. Like this back and forth and back and forth takes place here. And that comes from praying in the Spirit. Praying accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Oh. Because you see, prayer, most people think of prayer as like a one-directional, unidirectional, just goes up. And the word communicate says that, communicate. But communion isn't a straight line. Communion is a circle. Communion is you send something up, but something comes back too. There is an involvement with God that is necessary to be muscularly developed in a spiritual way. You follow what I'm saying? You know, some of you, and it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out, to look around the room and tell who of you has been to the gym in the last month and who of us has not. And I'm not going to name any names, of course. I wouldn't want to embarrass myself. But you see, or maybe you didn't make it to the gym, but your job or the activities around the house were as physical as it was. And probably a lot healthier for you, by the way, than an old piece of iron that you throw up and down. But it shows in your body, and you are built up because you took responsibility to maintain your physical strength. In the same way, maintenance of self requires you and I to inspect how strong we are, how built up we are. Now, there's a couple of things about this, and let's take a look at Let's talk about this praying in the Holy Ghost for a moment, because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, this word edifies is a really important word. It's the word to edify means to build up. If you put up an edifice, you put up a building, an edifice. So, in this non-conceptual prayer, in this communication here that sometimes surpasses the ability to articulate, and yet sometimes is that there's an edification, there's a building up that takes place. By the way, when it comes to edification, it's interesting, watch this, that God sets a criteria for us to what do we accept and what we do not accept. Now watch this, because Paul says, there are things that are lawful for me. In other words, I could legally do it. I could even do it in the sight of God. It would be lawful to do it. Watch. But all things are not expedient. Now, watch the next phrase. All things are lawful, but all things don't edify. If something edifies you, that is to say, build you up in the most holy faith, do it. If something is not edifying, don't do it. Now, if we start rejecting the stuff that doesn't edify us, build us up in the most holy faith, you'll have a lot of time on your hands. Because you can spend a lot of time doing stuff that's lawful, but not edifying. You follow that? It's lawful, but it's not expedient. So the criteria is expedience and whether or not it is edifying. Because in doing spiritual maintenance, it's our responsibility to build up ourselves in the most holy faith. Now, during your checkup time, you want to watch out for persons, places, things, or activities that demand too much of your attention. There could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing, it could be an activity, it could be any one of the four, that kind of exalts itself and wants to take over your life. And what if you're not careful, it will subdue you and you will become ruled by it. You follow that? And when something becomes too important to us, it's what the Bible describes as an idol. An object of attention. Object of too much attention. An object that too much attention is best described with this word worship, because it's so compelling and so attractive and it's idolized, and soon it turns. Keep yourselves from persons, places, things, activities that would usurp the rightful place of Jesus in your life. Everybody follow that? Good. I can keep going. Stay yielded to God. At the end of the day, when you do your checkup, this is a really good question. Did I yield to God today? Or did I just do my own thing? Part of the checkup. And so, don't yield your members, your hands, your tongue, your ears, your eyes, parts of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness that leads to sin, but yield yourselves unto God. What did I give into today? Was it God? What is the evidence that I gave into something? It's that I allowed some part of my body, hands, feet, tongue, ears, whatever, to become an instrument to do something that wasn't right. Yield it to God. It's a really important part of your checkup. Did I yield to God today? Now, when you do this checkup, this is not an opportunity to get into self-condemnation. This is an opportunity to say, oh, you know, I didn't yield to God. And you write it with God right then and there. And then it begins, it helps you get started the next day the right way because you had the checkup the night before. You had an evaluation. You did the maintenance schedule. So that we learn from what we did right the day before to do the same right things again. And we learn from what we did wrong not to do the wrong things again. But without a maintenance schedule and a stop and a checkup, that will go unnoticed. Check for the overflow. And, interesting, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now watch this, filled with the Spirit. Now this filled means to fill to overflowing, right? Let me tell you what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It is the outflow and overflow of the inflow of God's Spirit. It is nothing more or less. In other words, you get so full of the Spirit that it flows out of you. Now guess where it flows out? It flows out your lips. That's how you can tell if you're in the overflow. You can tell it by what's coming out of you. And stuff that comes out of us comes out of our mouth, by and large. Now watch this. So here we are. Be filled speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. How many here talk to yourself? Let me see your hand. Yep. A few really need a sermon on dishonesty here, but talking to yourselves. Talking to yourself. You can tell when somebody's drunk because he's talking to himself. You can tell when somebody's full of the Spirit because they're talking to themselves. How do you talk to yourselves? You talk in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, you not only talk, but you sing. You not only sing, but you make up melodies in your heart to the Lord. The checkup, the self-maintenance schedule needs to be to include, am I full of God? Is it coming out of me? Oh, did I sing songs today? Let me tell you something. All day long, this gusher, just. You know, when the prophet Joel, great, one of the prophets, prophesied that in the last days, here's what he said. And God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now watch this. He didn't say I was going to sprinkle you. He said, I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour out my Spirit all, and your young men shall dream dreams, or shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon your daughters and your handmaidens will I pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. God wants to pour the Spirit into us. Don't resist the Spirit. Let him fill you, because in the filling he overflows, and it will come out what you speak and what you sing, and you make up melodies. And every day, see, the mundane stuff of life won't get to you anymore, because this stuff is just, God. It's hard to think an unholy thought. I want you to hear what I just said. You can get to the place where it's hard to think an unholy thought. It's hard to conjure up an unholy thought. Why? Because the Spirit's flowing, and he controls what you speak and what you sing and how you make up melodies, what you're creating. It's hard to be negative because of the overflow. Check the overflow. Number 7. Evaluate your output that you give to other people in terms of comfort and edification. Now, we know we're to edify ourselves, build up ourselves. But we're to comfort one another. And look at this. We're to edify one another. This part of the evaluation has probably been one of the toughest for me. Because I find it very easy to speak things that are not building up to other people. I tend to regurgitate too much news. I tend to talk too much about what the devil's doing in the world instead of what God's doing in the world. I tend to look at those around me and dump on them without any forethought that my function in her life or their life ought to be comfort and edification. My wife is so good at edifying. There are times when, there are a lot of times when I need it. That's what she does. She makes me survive Sunday afternoons. Oh, beloved, our checkup needs to include, what are we pumping out to other people's lives? Is it comforting to them? And is it building them up? So that even correction in the family is a positive thing and not a destructive thing. Wow. Okay. Don't murmur. Among yourselves. Golly. The end of the day, when you do the checkup, you check this one. How much of this did I do today? How much complaining and moaning and grumping and that wasn't even nice to be around. Then number 8. Stop judging yourself. Now, let's look at the scripture, and then I want you to really catch truth tonight. Going to fly out here in just a minute. Watch this now. Here's what Paul said. I judge not mine own self. I'm talking about yourself now. Stop judging yourself. This has nothing to do with whether or not you judge behaviors or activities or events. We're talking about yourself. Because, now watch this, Paul said, I don't judge myself because I don't know enough by myself to do that. And then he raises to his own thinking a critical truth. Am I not hereby justified? Am I not justified in not judging myself? Answer, yes, You are justified in not judging yourself. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen. It is God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Will you judge yourself? I'm telling you, if you and I will just stop judging ourselves, to do that, you may have to have this checkup 5 times a day. Because how do you know if you're judging yourself? You know you have judged yourself when you have a sense of condemnation. Because there is no condemnation that comes to you from God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no God. There's judgment day coming, and he's going to adjudicate. And you need to understand judgment day, by the way, because there's a judgment day for the unbeliever and there's a different judgment day for the believer. And the judgment day for the believer is going to be a wonderful day. The judgment day for the unbeliever is a horrendous day. Heaven and hell are at stake, but not for the believer. His sins have already been judged on the cross, on Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you stand before God on judgment day, let me tell you, as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus, judgment day for you is sort of like going to the county fair and watching the judging of the pies. There is no bad pies. Some are going to get a red ribbon, some a blue, and whatever else. That's the kind of judgment you face now. Well, it's not hard to face that kind of a judgment, is it? Your judgment is going to lead to the distribution of rewards, the ribbons, etc. Stop judging yourself now. What if you lived your life and got to the exit sign, and all you've done all of your life is judge yourself? Instead of building yourself up, you put yourself down. You see, that's why the checkups really need it. Because if you're putting yourself down, you're not building yourself up. And if you're not building yourself up, we're not doing what the Lord tells us, building up yourself in the most holy faith. Yeah. So, stop judging yourself. Number 9. Be at peace. Check your peace. I just want you to look at this last line. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, this is the collective, but it's also the personal. Let me tell you something. You know, let me ask, just do a mental checkup right now. I don't want you to raise your hand. No display of response. Today, did you live in peace? Did you have what the scriptures call the peace of God that passes understanding, which will keep your hearts? Your peace is really important. So we need, as part of our checkup, to check our peace. Because if there's a lack of peace, then we need to fix something. Something's broke. Maintenance is required. Oh, beloved, one of his names, and I know he has many names, but you know, in all the names of Jesus, there are a few that kind of like gather to the top. Like at the top to me is King of Kings. There isn't anything higher than that. Lord of Lords comes second. But he's got a lot of other wonderful names that kind of like surge to the top too. Isaiah, put it this way. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. You ready? Prince of Peace. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. Oh, that's what he said. If you let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my peace I give unto you, not the way the world gives, give I unto you. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. If you're hungry, come and feed. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen to his words. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Peace. Peace is not arranging your environment because if something gets out of, the ducks aren't lined up, you lose your peace. Peace is a condition of your heart regardless of your environment. Peace is not inside you. No use looking for it anywhere else. Check your peace. And lastly, this one may shock you. Limit your associations. Now, it could have said Christians here, but it doesn't. Watch this now. This command comes in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the command. Ready? That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother, every Christian. Watch it now. That walks without order. That's why Paul say you could follow us, because we have not behaved ourselves disorderly. A spiritual maintenance requires an investigation of the influences you allow closest to you. And you might say, and you know, I could tell you, the story could be told thousands of times, and I have heard it scores of times. I've heard it from young girls who said, well, he told me he was a Christian. And then proceeds a tragic tale. God comes along, and in order to protect us, he says that among ourselves, this criteria of withdrawal, that means no association with, back out of. People who call themselves Christians, but walk disorderly. Any teenagers here, any young children here, listen really closely to your mother and father who probably have already taught you this, and if not, they will after tonight, I trust. Break off relationships with people who do not live their lives according to order. Biblical orders. Even though they called themselves a brother.
whole.
Part of self-examination, self-maintenance, is to make sure that those who I allow to have the most influence on me are disciplined, ordered, walking according to biblical instructions people. If they got Jesus on their genes, that's not good enough. In fact, it's not good enough for Jesus in their heart. They must have developed order. Maybe that's our subject for next Wednesday night. What does it mean to walk in order?
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.